very soon, in addition to our licensed Unity teacher, Joe Warren, we're going to have two more licensed Unity teachers that are getting close to graduation, Deb Fry and Jan Morning. And as they approach what is sort of their Unity equivalent of their final exam, they have to do a presentation. And they have to do a presentation on some Unity fundamentals. And I decided that rather than just talking to them about it, maybe this would be a good thing to give some lessons on. So last week, I tried to cover Jan's topic, which was on affirmations and how we use them in Unity. And this week, I'm going to talk about something else that is very fundamental to Unity, maybe even the most fundamental aspect of Unity. And that is our understanding that we all have a threefold nature, sort of a trinity within each one of us, a threefold nature composed of spirit, soul, and body. Now, what do we mean by this? Well, by way of illustration, I'd like to use something that we use here every Sunday, that you witness every Sunday, but you're probably not even aware of. I'd like to use as my illustration the theatrical lighting system we have here in our church. Now, you're not always aware of it. Really, only the people that volunteer to be on our light and sound crew are fully aware of all the things it can do. But you witness all the things it can do, and it affects your mood and the way you perceive this entire sanctuary. For example, if I ask Eric up on our light booth to turn off our zip strips, to just turn them off now, you can see, once they wind down, what the back wall of our sanctuary actually looks like. This is the actual color of the back wall. The thing is, during the course of our worship, you never see it that way. You only see it that way if you come in here when I'm turning the lights off and closing things up. Or maybe come in here to pray during the week. No, during our worship service on Sunday, you see it a variety of other ways. For instance, sometimes it's blue. And when we turn on the full blue lights, this wall's color is transformed. It is changed pretty dramatically. Sometimes in the course of the service, for instance, during my lessons, the lights are on their warm setting. And when Eric turns on the warm lights, makes the transition to that, you see the change. Brides especially like this color. Makes their wedding dresses look nicer. And it makes all of those various colors the bridesmaids' dresses have stand out better. Sometimes during the course of our service, we don't want the lights warm. We want to cool off like we do on these hot summer days in St. Louis. And that's the cool setting on the lights. But every time you saw a change, while the appearance of the wall changed, dramatically really, especially when we're doing a service here at night, and while the change seemed to take place as if by magic, like all stage magic, it's just an illusion. The wall didn't change at all, did it? If Eric would just turn off the lights again, you can see the wall, well, it's the same color we painted it, what, 12, 14 years ago. The wall hasn't changed at all. Its appearance changed only, but if you think about it, that's all we ever wanted to change, wasn't it? And aren't the lights a much more efficient and sensible way of changing the color? I mean, think how people complain that I talk too long now. Think how long my services would be if Eric had to run down here and paint the wall every time I wanted the effect to change. Let alone how difficult it would be to get sound and light volunteers if that was the case. No, this is a much more practical and efficient way to change. But all it actually changes is the lights, not the wall. And that's all we need to change. But in a sense, it's not just the wall that never changes. In reality, the lights never really change. The lights stay the same too, because you never ever, in the course of our service, see the pure white light as it comes out of the bulb. No, those lights are so intense it would be almost blinding if we let those lights show directly on the wall. Now, what you see, even when it's at its fullest, full warm, what you see is how the lights look when they're passed through an amber-colored filter like this, an amber-colored gel. What you see is how the wall would appear if it had a nice tan. That's what full warm is in our sanctuary. So the lights never change, the wall never changes, and yet our whole experience of the sanctuary changes just by changing the least substantial part of the whole setup. These acetate gels, these little filters that come in three different colors, and those three colors do the whole trick. That's the secret to the stage magic up here at our platform. Well, according to Jesus Christ, believe it or not, you are a member of God's light crew. And once you fully understand the truth of this, you will understand how you can change your own life as dramatically and as seemingly magically as Eric can change the appearance of that wall during the course of our worship services. And in a strikingly similar way, because Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does one light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, so it can give light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give the glory to your Father who is in heaven." You are the light of the world. This isn't an aspiration. This isn't something you hope to become someday. According to Jesus Christ, that's what you are. According to Jesus Christ, the light of God is already lit, shining within you. At the very center of your being, at the very heart of who and what you are, there is a divine radiance, a divine fire already burning inside you. In himself, Jesus called it the Father in him. The Father in him that revealed God's truth to him and did God's work, mighty works through him. "Not I, but the Father in me does his works," Jesus said. And Jesus told us, as incredible as it may seem, that you and I have the very same Father, that we should think of and address God as our Father, too. And what's even more incredible, he insisted that the works he did, we shall do also, and if you can even imagine such a thing, even greater works than these shall we do. And we do the same works in the same way. The light of God is the light that enlightens our world. When people see that light, they say, "It's a miracle." But it's a miracle in the same sense that the way we change the light in our sanctuary seems magical. All that's happening is the light of God is shining on the screen of our world. That's what that wall is. It is the screen on which our lighting effects are projected. It is, if you will, the canvas on which the lights paint with their colors and intensities. Our outer lives, our bodies and our outer world, our experiences and achievements, they are the screen on which the light of God plays through us. They are the screen on which the light of God is projected through us. And when that light is revealed clearly and beautifully, it looks to everyone like a miracle. And everyone recognizes somehow in it the presence of God. It is no accident that the most common experience among religious mystics, of all religion really, but especially Christianity, is what they call photism, an experience of intense, almost blinding light, like Paul's experience on the road to Damascus. The mystic sees a bright light, sees light radiating through all things. It's as though everything in the world is, at least for the moment, backlit, like I am right now in the sanctuary. That is the regular experience of the mystic and the saint. And that is the reality of our experience, even if we don't recognize it. Even if we're not aware of the magic that's going on backstage in life. That light of God in us is what St. Paul identified in Colossians as the Christ in you, which he said is our true hope of achieving glory. You are an inlet and really can become an outlet of all there is in God, just as Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote. But to do this, you have to understand what's going on. You have to understand what creates the effects. You have to understand that to change your life, you don't have to paint the wall, except with God's light. To change your life, you have to understand where the life-changing intensity and power comes from, and learn to let our light shine. There are some self-proclaimed teachers out there who claim, and maybe even themselves believe, that they have the enlightenment all of us hunger for and need. The enlightenment that will take away the darkness from our outer lives, our finances, our love lives, or the more debilitating darkness we sometimes experience in our own souls. But any truly enlightened soul, like Jesus, will always teach us that we must turn within for enlightenment and encourage us to learn to let our own light shine. That light in us is the Christ presence in us, and it is the ultimate reality of what we are. We are God's living lamps, the channels of God's light into our world. Our physical bodies and outer life experiences and achievements are like the wall behind me. They are where the change appears, and frankly, that's where we want the change to appear in our outer lives. We want an outer life that is flooded with light. We want all the darkness to go away, all the shadows to be dispelled, and we want to have bright prospects, don't we? We want to have shining experiences. We want to have enlightened conversations. We want to meet people that make us shine and that to us seem to shine themselves. And all of that is possible. All of that, in fact, is our destiny, is our purpose. Remember, we're part of God's light crew. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That is our job description as God's children, to be vehicles so God's light can shine on the wall of this world. And people will see it and see God in it. Because that's what we're really seeing, isn't it? What we're really seeing is not the wall. What we're really seeing is the light. Jesus did God's work in this world. He manifested God's light in this world, projected God's light and power into the lives of ordinary people like us. And that is our true mission too, to let our light shine. But to do this, it's important that we understand this process. It is important we understand. If you want to understand Jesus Christ, if we want to understand unity, we have to understand this fundamental thing. We are children of light, not of the world. We are not human beings with a soul or with a hope of going to heaven one day. In reality, we are heavenly spiritual beings embodied, going through a human experience. To understand Jesus Christ, you have to look at life in that way. From the inside out instead of the outside in. To quit thinking we have to paint the wall and begin understanding we have to let our light shine. If we never understand anything else, if we understand that, it will transform our life. It will give us power we never had before. It will give us freedom we never enjoyed before. What it really teaches us is we are not out to change the world so much as we are to change what we project onto that world. Remember, the world is just the screen. It's just where the lighting effects are projected, which brings us finally to the third or middle ground of our being. It brings us, well, to what the light is filtered through to create the effects. In addition to having a body on which God's light is projected, and the light of God shining through us, which the Bible variously calls the Christ in us, our hope of glory, or the kingdom of God within us, in our hearts, or the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of truth in us. In addition to having that spiritual dimension and having a physical channel through which to express it, a physical screen on which to progress it, our bodies, we also have a mind of our own. In fact, the mind is the one thing we truly have of our own. We have a free will, and this is where we exercise. We can think for ourselves, and by thinking, all we really do is we change. We change the channels through which the light flows. Now, when we talk about mind, when we think of our minds, we naturally first think of the conscious thinking part of our minds, the rational reasoning part of our minds, or of consciousness. But you know what? That is really just the tiniest and most superficial piece of our minds. By far, the greatest part of our minds is hidden, out of sight, beneath the surface of consciousness, just like the greater part of an iceberg is hidden beneath the surface of the water. All you see is the tiny tip. You don't see the great mass, nor do we see the great mass that is of our consciousness. Although we do see its results every day in our lives. What is filling that subterranean mass? Well, what it's really filled with is our beliefs. Our beliefs that we have developed in response to our various life experiences, some of which have been beautiful and wonderful, some of which have been traumatic, some of which have given us fond memories. Others, well, we've interpreted them as a reason to hold grudges. But in any case, everything we've learned, everything we've experienced in life has been integrated into a belief system. And those beliefs constitute the gels, the filters that stand between God's light and our lives. Now, some of the things we've learned have been good and true, and those things are liberating. The truth makes you free, according to Jesus. But a lot of the things we've learned have been just nonsense. But learn this. We virtually never see our world as it is, just like during the Sunday service, we never see the wall as it is. We always see the light of God in our world filtered through one filter or another. It happens so quick we don't recognize it. But our beliefs are constantly changing the filters. Like, well, a simple example I've used before. Have you ever noticed how when you're in a hurry, everyone in front of you drives more slowly? You hit every red light. It is as though they're doing it on purpose, isn't it? Doesn't it seem that way? Like those other drivers somehow psychically know that you're in a hurry and they're slowing down just to spite you. They're stopping for that garage sale just to slow you down. And the traffic lights have a mind of their own. They see you coming and they hit the red just as soon as you approach. But traffic lights don't have a mind of their own. They have eyes, cameras, but they don't have a mind. You have a mind of your own. And your mind has got your impatience gel in it. And what your mind is showing on the screen of life, therefore all you are perceiving on the screen of life, are things that validate feeling impatient. Now, some of us have accumulated so many of these gels that stand between the light and our world that almost none of the light seems to get through. It really is, as Jesus said, like our lights under a bushel, under a pail. What we do in unity can be summed up this simply. What we do in unity is we try to strip away these gels one by one until all that's left are ones that show God's true colors. Now, I don't know that we ever will reach a point, I don't even know that Jesus in this life experience came to a point where he showed the light in its purity. I don't know if this world could handle it. Just as it would almost be too bright to look at that wall if all the gels were removed. I think Jesus just showed us as much as he could. In fact, he said as much. He said, only the spirit of truth that we experience in our own souls can reveal God's true light. There were certain things he himself couldn't tell us or show us. But we can get to where what we see, what we show in the world, is more and more like the sort of thing Jesus showed in the world. But to summarize, the wall never changes, doesn't need to. The light bulbs never change, don't need to. The only thing it needs to change is the filter, our thoughts and beliefs. And changing them changes everything. Let's pray about this. And to center ourselves for our experience of God.